Let your written word now be spoken and heard by each one of us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, that we may not refuse your calling or ignore your voice. May we all be taught by you through your powerful word. Bring our every thought capture to obeying Christ. Bless Pastor Henry as he brings your word to us this morning. To the glory of your name, amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 5 and 14 to 18, and this can be found on page 1506 in the Pew Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Derek noted, today we continue in line with our Connect youth in grades 4 through 6, who are studying liturgy and how it works and why we do it the way we do and what it means when it's printed the way it is in our bulletins. So as they look at word and sacraments, it actually worked out quite well to have word and both sacraments in the one service where they will be talking about that. And as we've noted before, but maybe new to some of us, next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, is when they will be leading the worship with the liturgy that they have and are putting together as part of their study and their learning process together with their leaders. So today, word and sacrament. Now, obviously, when it comes to the word part, we know that we use scripture and the reading of scripture in our services, and we've done that already a number of times. And the sermon, this part of the service, is not simply to be a devotional or a reflection and sharing of some thoughts. It's always intended to be an explanation or a proclamation of what Scripture is teaching. And so we expect our preachers to get the education needed, significant education, and even gain some familiarity with the original languages to be able to take that word and preach or proclaim it. And the sacraments come out of the Word. They derive from the Word, signs and seals of God's covenant with us, Christ-instituted ways by which we receive grace. But Scripture is central. That's why we've called ourselves people of the Word. And as some of you know, historically, the furniture at the front in Reformed churches would already begin to tell and give that message. The pulpit would be in the middle of the stage or platform, and generally, at least in older traditional places, it would be raised one level above everything else because the word is central. And then to the sides, at a slightly lower level, would be the signs of the sacrament, a baptismal font and a Lord's Supper table in most traditions. But the pulpit would be in the middle and would often have either a Bible on the lectern itself or, like we have here, a Bible in the front to remind us every time we come in that we are people of the Word. And interestingly, ordained ministers in the Christian Reformed Church, the formal designation for them until recently was minister of the Word and Sacrament. And that changed more recently, now just to be minister of the Word, which clarifies a little bit more that the sacraments come out of the Word, and it's the Word that is central. So the Word, God's revelation, has always taken center stage in our tradition, if not literally in the furniture at the front, then certainly in our theology and liturgy. But then you take and add to that what Miranda led us in reading just a few minutes ago in John 1, where Jesus is called or is identified as the Word, the revelation of God. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. Not just words, but God's revelation of himself. All right, those words are not unfamiliar. We often hear them, even though most often we'll hear them around Christmas time. But I want to take a step aside from that to try to take a moment to capture something broader. A Hispanic minister who I've come to know and who I was meeting with last month mentioned that it has always impressed him that there is a certain physicality that comes with our faith. A visualness that's there. Now, I suppose if you take that back far enough, you start in the beginning where the Bible begins with creation. God speaks the word, we read, and the results we see are not just some fish and some birds and land creatures and the like, but an incredible expression of variety and creativity and colors and smallness and largeness. In creation, God shows a part of who God is in what God has made. And then God takes the people he made and puts them in the garden to tend to his revelation there and to enjoy God as God would enjoy them. But the example this pastor was pointing to was more pointed. He was reflecting on God's promise in Genesis 15. God doesn't just tell Abraham there, though God does, but doesn't just tell Abraham that Abraham's going to have children, even though Abraham was getting a little worried, and that Abraham was going to have innumerable children, he and Sarah, when all was said and done. But God doesn't just give those promises in words. God invites Abraham to come outside and has Abraham look at the stars and consider counting them. A picture in which Abraham is invited not just to listen to the words, but to engage or to clarify or to confirm some promises that God has made. A picture that he would remember anytime he might look up and see the stars. And you find that kind of physicality, that visual, physical visualness throughout Scripture. Engagement to help understand what God is saying or what God is doing or what God is intending. And so maybe it shouldn't be that surprising then that God takes the word, the word of creation, of promise, of covenant, God takes the word and identifying Jesus as the Word makes it physical, makes God's revelation one of us, flesh and blood. And suddenly we have not just words, but one who represents them, who lives them, who embodies the grace and the truth of them. Because the point is not merely words, but the one who is the Word. You know, I reflect on that and think sometimes in our tradition we can lose sight of that, at least a little bit. Now, we think that the words are the end themselves, and we have to have them right. Now, of course they're important, and we need them. God would not have said Jesus is the Word if the Word and words were not important. But we can think that words or concepts or theology or definitions are the end. And we can lose some of the physicality, the presence, the simple and profound desire of God to be with God's people. God, who in Christ made his dwelling among us. Or using the words of Eugene Peterson in The Message, his translation, God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, our neighborhood. And God didn't tell us to simply figure out a theology of how to deal with sin and avoid hell in the long term. God calls us to himself, and so he becomes one of us, full of grace and truth. Center stage, the Word, always. And so it's not surprising that's what the sacraments do as well. They don't just clarify or explain in picture a theology. They are a means of God's grace. In some sense, they are a mystery, which is the root word of sacrament, a word that we use. They are a mystery that gives us God. In baptism, as we know it again today, we recognize that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. God dwells in us. Hudson is not just marked as a member here. God is busy with him, working with him from the inside out. And the Lord's Supper is not just a symbolic representation of what Jesus did the night before he died. It's with some sense of mystery when we participate of taking Jesus in, seeing and tasting and feeling the God who wants us and wants to be with us. God who puts a physicality on it so that we understand the sacrament is an engagement not simply with a concept, but with God and God with us. A God who wants us to understand that the words are not just words, they're God. A God who would empty himself and come and die on the cross for people like, well, you trace the story, for people like Jacob the deceiver, Samson who betrayed his vows, David with blood and adultery on his hands, people like you and me, a God who wants us. The Word became flesh because there's a physicality, a realness to faith. It makes me think back to the days when Marnie and I were dating. She was in Toronto and I was in Grand Rapids. This dates me a little bit, we didn't have email at that time. And we also didn't have money, and phoning was far more expensive, so that didn't happen very often either. So we had to write letters. And there was something that was very good about letter writing. You communicate some things in letters that you might not in a back-and-forth conversation. But letters are about words, right? And getting those words from Marnie was great. And I know I've mentioned it before here in talking about this. I especially liked the endings of the letters. And I would cheat sometimes and jump to the end before reading everything that came first. Because there were words usually there that would be about missing me and about wanting to be with me and about loving me. More connecting than reading about the latest with her boss and at work, and what the weather was like. All important, and I would read them all. But the ending kind of had a final blessing. But I can assure you that Marnie's letters, as good as they were, didn't compare to what it was like when she came to visit, to be together, to do stuff, to engage with each other in live words. Because when she came to Grand Rapids, her words became her. And she was with me in my neighborhood. That was what we longed for. That's what we were planning for, even as we still wrote these letters when we were apart. It's what the future would bring when we would get married. And I think of that because I think, of course, theology is important. And we take it seriously, and our tradition does as well. And of course, sermons and confessions and articulating what it means to keep Jesus' commandments and to follow, they are important. But what happened back years with Marnie and me is a reminder, a help in understanding that also what happens here is not just about the words, but about the one who is the Word and goes with me into the rest of this day and into this week. It's about God and engaging with God and not simply in some religious practice. And this, what we do here this morning, is not just about now. It helps to set the rhythm again for another week of we who walk with God, a God who wants to be with us. When I began ministry, it was interesting for me to hear, maybe especially because I had just started preaching, hear a number of seniors say that as they had grown older and matured in their faith, the sermon became less the big highlight of the service. And the sacraments became more, not necessarily more than the sermon, but became more than what they had been. They said that these simple pictures became an engagement with a living God. And then recently at our worship committee meeting, we were talking about the parting blessing of the service, and it was interesting to hear that some say that the blessing was what pulled the service together for them before they left. The good part at the end that reminded them. That reminds us that we are loved, that we don't leave God in faith here, but God goes with us into whatever this day and this week brings. And you know, I think I get it. From a God who desires our engagement. A God who gives the Word, a God who gives us the revelation through the Word. A God who tells us that the Word became flesh. And made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. And that's the point. And this is the Word of God. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, you who is the Word, who is among us, who dwelt among us, who took our place. We thank you that you as our Lord and Savior are not simply an idea and that we do not know you simply through words on paper, but that we may know you as one who is here, who lives in us, who empowers us through your Spirit. We thank you for that truth in our lives and for the grace of what that means. But we also thank you for the Word that you have given, that we know a God who speaks and things happen, a God who has revealed himself in what we know as Scripture. For words that are not simply written on a page, but that you have said are living and active, cutting like a two-edged sword, making a difference in our lives. We thank you that when we engage that Word, it's also not simply about concepts, but it's about you. And as we engage that Word, not only here for a time, but as you call us to engage that and to use that and to work with that in every part of our lives, we ask that in that we may know your presence, that you nudge and that you move, that you bless us in that, and that we may know that we are not alone because we belong to you, body and soul, in life and in death. As we celebrate that and also taste and see and remember your presence here, we dare to ask for your blessing because we do it in your name. Hear us, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.